Okay, everybody, welcome back from your meal break. Hope you had some good intake of caloric substance. Now we'll move on to some intellectual nutrition for you. Quick look at the slides. We're now up to module 4. So we've had 3 modules that have focused on apps for Office and one more. This time we're gonna look at apps for Office targeting Excel. And then after that, we're gonna move into developing SharePoint apps. So we'll start with our deep dive for apps for Office and Excel by just quickly covering the agenda. We're gonna have a quick introduction to apps for Excel. And after that, we'll talk about getting up and going with Visual Studio and how to create a new Visual Studio project, which is gonna help us develop the apps for Excel. We're gonna look at reading and writing content to and from an Excel document, basically a workbook. And then finally, we'll talk about document binding. Some of the ground that we're gonna cover is gonna be similar to what we covered before, mainly because there is a common API for reading and writing to and from documents that works across multiple applications, including Word and Excel. Now, we've already covered this, so let's be very brief. What is an app for Office? It's a web page and some resources behind it that load into your Office application, and it works both in your rich desktop application, Excel 2013, hopefully with Service Pack 1. It also is gonna work inside of Excel services. And the idea is that we then just use web technologies, HTML5 and friends, to basically build out the app's behavior. Now, there are different shapes that we can use, and Excel is nice in the fact that it allows us to create both task pane apps and content apps. And depending on what we're doing, you know, one might be appropriate or the other might be appropriate given the scenario. So a task pane app might be good when we have a document that we're working with and we want some type of app to act as an assistant that can pull data from across the network and it can insert data into the workbook itself, or it reads values out of the workbook and passes them off to some particular back end. A content app can be great for doing different types of visualizations that we can show right on the workbook itself. And either type of app is able to read content that you're gonna have inside of your cells. And in some cases, we might even wanna write the content back. And the demonstration we're gonna see at the end is gonna show an example of doing just that. Now, we have the infrastructure underneath the apps for Office, which is the web extensibility framework. Now, we've talked about that in previous modules, so I don't have to go through a lot of detail right now. But it is the infrastructure that allows a application such as Microsoft Excel or a web-based version of Excel, such as Excel services, to be able to render our HTML5 efforts to basically bring our apps to the surface so that users can use them. Now, when we use apps for Office running in Excel services, there is an important infrastructure piece, and that is that we have a browser, and inside of the browser, there is a pair of iframes, and in particular, Excel Services is able to run the web extensibility framework inside of there, and then there is another iframe which is going to basically host your app. And because of some very low-level code that you didn't write, you don't have to care all that much about when you program, there's a bunch of post-message API communications that are going on between Excel services and the code that you write inside of your app. Now, just like any other app for Office, the high-level anatomy is that we're gonna create an app for Office, which is going to be an app manifest, just an Excel file, an XML file that has the metadata for the app itself, tells Excel how to cite the app, whether it's task pane or a content app, what type of permissions it has. And then we have a website that has a start page and any other things that we want to put behind it. In the previous module, you saw an example of using a custom service with a web API. you know, even though I'm not going to demonstrate one of those inside of this module, you know, realize that that's something that you can use in any type of app for Office, giving you the full strength of using C# code to reach anywhere that you want on the local network or internet, and to basically be able to push and pull data from your JavaScript front end as you want to do things like read and write to a workbook. Now, in our next section, we'll talk specifically about the development environment and the tools that Visual Studio gives us for developing apps that target Excel. So just like all the other app for offices that we've created so far, we're going to create a new project in Visual Studio. We're going to design the user interface with HTML and CSS. We're then going to write the JavaScript to bring the application to life. And it's going to be a very easy experience for us to be able to hit the F5 key and run the app. Now, in my first demo, I'll show you how to get started. But what we're going to do is we're going to create a new project based on the App for Office template. When you want to target Excel, you can use either a task pane or a content app shape. And then we're going to pick Excel. We could pick other things other than Excel. If we look at the dialog to the very right here, that adds the capabilities to the app manifest to tell what type of Office applications are capable of hosting this app for Office that we're going to create. Now, the project structure is going to be such that you have two different projects. The top project contains the XML file, which is the manifest. Visual Studio is going to give us a nice designer to work with. And then the second project is really just an ASP.NET web application that is going to have our homepage, home.html, and the JavaScript behind it. Like you've seen in previous modules, they're also going to add the app.js file inside there to give us a way to basically send notifications to the user. Now, there's the app manifest designer that we can work with. You know, once again, we've seen this before, so no need to really dwell on that. And as you're using the app manifest designer, what you're really doing is making modifications to the XML file that lives behind it. And this is something that is an essential piece to testing the app in the Visual Studio debugger, but also to be able to deploy the app into production. Now, in our second module today, we looked at app deployment, and we basically worked through a demonstration with an app that targets Microsoft Word. There's absolutely no difference between how we would deploy an app for Office that targets Excel. Basically, we're going to take the website and push it up somewhere inside of Windows Azure or possibly a local web server running in our local network. And then we're going to take the app manifest. And when we're inside of the debugging environment, you know, we're able to use things like the dynamic token tilde remote app URL, and Visual Studio is automatically going to start up the website in some URL, typically that has localhost and some port number inside there. But by the time we want to deploy, we have to make sure that we've updated the app manifest so it points to the endpoint that has to use HTTPS, you know, somewhere out on the network or out on the internet. Now, we have this need to set permissions. Now, by default, when you create the new project, it's going to give you read-write document. Now, you might consider using a lower permission level. What I would say is use the lowest permission level possible, because as someone installs your app, they're going to be prompted and they're going to be asked whether you trust the app. So only ask for permissions you need. But by default, when you create a new project, they give you read-write document, which gives you everything. You know, but going from the most constrained to the most the least restrictive, if you have a restricted level, you can basically read and write document settings. Remember, the document settings is a property bag associated with a document such as a Word document or an Excel workbook, but you can't really read or write to the document. The next level is read document, where you're going to have permissions to read things out of the document, and you can subscribe to events such as someone changing the value of a particular cell. Okay. We can also have read all document. And what this gives us the ability to do is to access the document file. So one really neat thing that your app can do is get access to the entire file, you know, which might be my workbook.xlsx or my worddoc.docx. And you could basically push that information to the back end, and then your back end could basically take the file and save it into a database, to a file system, to a file share, what have you. There is write document, and then there is read write document, which basically gives you all permissions. Now, earlier I've also showed how we can set up a test document. So by default, we're going to create a project, and whenever we hit the F5 key to debug, Visual Studio is going to start Excel, create a brand new Excel workbook, and automatically insert a content app into the workbook, or if it's a task pane app, it's automatically going to activate that inside of the task pane. But as we go through, some of the demonstrations that I'm going to use are going to expect that we don't just have a vanilla, brand new Excel workbook, but it might expect things such as named ranges of a certain name because we want to create bindings to them. You know, so in many cases, we want to have a test document. I'll go ahead and demonstrate how to do that, and that's going to give you a basis for, you know, doing more complex, sophisticated applications. Now, as we hit the very last module here on Apps for Office, you know, it's important that we really point out that there is this idea of a common API for things like documents and settings. So it is possible for you to write an app for Office that can be used across, you know, possibly Excel and Word, or Excel and Word and PowerPoint. You know, that being said, there is specific types of functionality that only works in Excel or only works in Word. So if you want to use every piece of functionality and still make the app work across, you might have to test to see whether the functionality is supported, or you might decide just to create an app for Office that targets, you know, one or a smaller set of target applications. Now, as far as the core API objects go, we have a office.context, which is the entry point into the API, as it were. And most importantly, we have an office.context.document. And you get a document object, and quite often we have the same functions that we can call on that that work across both Word and Excel. You know, for instance, reading and writing to the current selection, creating bindings, registering event handlers, you know, that is the same. But there's some things that only work in Word, you know, such as working with coercion types, which are HTML, or working with the coercion type of open XML data. You know, so keep that in mind, you know, as you're designing your app, you know, what is the target, and make sure that, you know, all the targets you support, you don't request functionality that's not available. Okay, we also have the office.context.settings, which allows you to basically save properties. It's a property bag. I wanted to point out also there's a couple things that are new with Service Pack 1 with Excel 2013. And in particular, there is now some navigation. So there is a document go-to by ID. And so if you have a named range or you've created a name binding, what we're able to do is, you know, basically take the user's current position or selected cell and move it there programmatically. There's also the ability to get the file properties, which is a fairly easy thing that we can call, to get the properties of the host file. And then if you want to actually take the workbook and push a copy of it back to a custom web service you have behind, we also have a get file async that you can call, which allows the app to basically get the entire file of the workbook and basically produce a copy of it somewhere. Okay, so let's look at our first demo here. So I'll go back over to Visual Studio. We'll create a new project. We'll create a app for Office, and we'll call this My Excel App. Wonderfully creative names, aren't they, Scott?
More original naming.
Okay, and then I can pick task pane or content. I think in the name of fairness, if we go back to Word, we did a task pane. Then in PowerPoint, we did a content. So we can't do a mail app. And so in this case right here, we'll go back to task pane. And once again, you know, I pick whatever particular targets that I want. You know, just for fun, let's go ahead and pick Word inside here. So now I have something that can target both. I just want to show the effect of what that selection did. Now, once we've created the project right here, as we've seen before, we have two different projects. The top one just has the app manifest. If I open the app manifest, we can look down here and there's nothing I really want to change inside here, you know, except possibly the display name and the provider name. But I'm going to go ahead and save this, open this back up. Now, let's go down here and open this. So under capabilities, you have this idea of presentation, workbook, document. And so I basically said I want this to support both Word and Excel. But now I change my mind. There's not really anything through the UI short of you knowing to come back and trim this out. You know, so now I've kind of reduced the possible host applications from Word and Excel down to just Excel. Okay. Also remember that read-write document is the default permission. You can do everything. You know, but look at what your app is doing, and if you can work at a lower permission level, it's always recommended that you do. Okay, now let's go ahead and see what we have down in this lower project. That's the website, and what we have inside here is the app.js, you know, so I can basically get notifications inside here. And in addition to that, they've given me the home.html file right here, and they've given me a little starting point that has a button so I can kind of test things out. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that one URL they've stuck inside there and just go with add home screen content here. We don't really need that. We'll just kind of leave the button that they've given us inside here. And in addition to that, we'll say welcome Scott, just to show how we can change things inside here. And now let's go and take a look at home.js. And once again, this is some very simple code that they've added just to give some hello world functionality. And so what we're able to do right now is we can go ahead and we can start this up. And the way things work by default is that this is going to load inside there. And the user has something in hello from a cell inside here. Still waiting for the app to fully initialize inside here. Once the app has fully initialized, you know, what we should be able to do is click on a particular cell, click on get data from selected section, and the code that Visual Studio has added in is just saying when someone clicks that button, run this function right here. And here's just a simple example of calling into Office Context Document and get selected data async. And basically there is a callback function that fires. And if it fires and it succeeded, we're just doing an app.show notification. Okay. And also remember that if you would like to take this particular document and you'd like to use this document for your test doc, well, what we can do is we can do a save the document. Now, also note that, let's say I go ahead and close this out. I go ahead and close this, and I come back to Visual Studio. I notice that Visual Studio still in debug mode. Let's say that I had some other document that I wanted to use instead of the one that Visual Studio started up. You know, so let's say that I have some document here. I'll just call this other document right here. But the thing is that this is not the document that Visual Studio created. It doesn't have the app inside here. However, if I go to insert and I drop this down, well, there it is right there. Now, what Visual Studio does is it adds an entry to the registry, which basically only works for development scenarios. But it gives you enough where you can basically add this inside here. Once I've got this added inside, I can now go ahead and add this. So remember, every time you want to go ahead and work with this, what we're going to need to do, if I go down here and find my Excel, where did I put this? And if I go look inside of completed projects, there's my Excel app. You know, remember that the test document, you have to add to the top project right here. Let's go ahead and save that inside. And so now I've saved this document with the app inserted inside of it. And as I save the document, that information gets saved. And so once again, we'll come down here, show all documents. I'll find that particular document. We'll insert that into the project. We'll go ahead and disable the show all files mode. And now if I come down here and I configure this to use Excel Workbook 1, well, now we can go up, run this right here, and we've got, you know, an existing document that we had before that we've added the app to, and we can use that as our testing document. Okay, give us one more second to load in just so you can see there's no smoke and mirrors. Let's go ahead and move back to our slides now. So the next thing we're going to look at is reading and writing content to and from documents. And what you're going to say is, Ted, this is amazingly like what you showed us with Word. And that's because it's a common API. It should be the same. So interacting with document content, there's a couple different ways to do that. One way is to have the user select the cell or the range that you'd like and read and write into that. What we'll see is that we can also use bindings that will give us a more predictable way where our app is not dependent on actions of the user to select the right thing before the code runs. So I think many of us will prefer that particular approach. Also, there are three data types that are supported. Well, we have text and table that were originally supported, and then matrix support was added inside of Excel 2013 Service Pack 1. And you know, just to point out one more time, if we were in Word, we would also support HTML as a coercion type, and also OpenXML, which is not supported inside of Excel. Now, the method that you saw in the first example is get selected data async. You know, so remember that all the interaction with the document is going to be asynchronous. So what that means is you're going to call a method to get or set a piece of data, and then you're going to have a callback method if you need to get data. The callback method is where you actually get the data and do something with it. And when you set data, the callback method is really just something that you use to make sure that it was successful. Now, when we set selected data, we have the method set selected data async. We pass the data in. You have a coercion type. If you want, you can pass an async context so that you can pass, you know, contextual information that is going to be passed to your callback method. Now, also, when we pass data with set selected data async, we can pass our content as a text coercion type, as a matrix coercion type, and as a table coercion type. Now, when we pass data as a matrix or a table, there's this issue where, imagine you have a table which is 2 cells wide by 3 rows deep. If you want to set the data and someone selects a single cell, it's always going to work, and the data is going to fill up using that cell as the top left. However, once someone selects more than one cell, they have to have the correct number of cells selected for things to work. And that will be evident when I do this upcoming demo. Now, here's just a simple example of adding some content. But what we should do is jump into a table and see how we can write with the three different coercion types: text, matrix, and table. Okay, so without further ado, let's go into another demo. So this time, I'm going to open up another project, and this is going to be the Excel Content Writer. And Scott says, Ted, you're a lazy oaf because you didn't rewrite any of the code from the previous demo with Word, and that's because I want to show off the fact that the API is really the same.
Yeah, it feels like you're doing the same lecture, but we're using Excel instead of Word.
That's exactly right. A couple things that are going to be different inside here. But what you'll see is this is the identical code that I showed earlier when we dealt with a app for office targeting Word. So let's go ahead and start this up. And so my app for Office initializes inside there. And so let's go ahead and put my cell at a particular location. We'll click on this right here and we get Hello World. Very exciting. Okay, now, just like I showed in an earlier module, we can create a matrix, which is an array of arrays. And so the first array is a two-element string array that has our column names, and then the other arrays are going to be rows, and simply I call set selected data async, and I pass the coercion type of matrix. And so we'll come by here and we'll go ahead and click right here, and it works great. Once again, single cell, click here, it works great. Pick two cells, click here, boom, it doesn't work. The supplied object is not compatible with the shape, but if I happen to know that, okay, let's go down 4/2, and now my matrix or table is the exact same set of dimensions as I'm trying to write into it, it works fine inside there. You know, so maybe the moral of the story is select a single cell. Note that I could do the exact same demo with the Office table right here. One nice difference about working with the Office table, and as I showed earlier, we call new on the office.datatable type in JavaScript, and then that has a headers and a rows property that we set inside there. But unlike what I did with the matrix right here, note that this gets recognized as a table. Let's go through here and just tab away, and now we can go ahead and add our friend Scott Hillier inside there, and we could add Ted Pattison. You know, so what's kind of neat about tables is when you write them, they have to be the right size inside there. For instance, we come here, that works fine. We come here, it doesn't work because we don't have the right shape. However, once you have created the table inside there, the table can be expanded with any number of rows. And when we read the table, we're going to get the new number of rows inside. One thing that I'm not showing, but I want to point out, is in Service Pack 1, they also added things to the API such that when you create a table, you can apply different types of formatting to that particular table. You know, notice that with the UI, I could go through here and add different formattings. And so now you can apply the same type of styling in your JavaScript code after you've added the table inside there. Okay. So now that we've seen that demo, let's go ahead and move back to the PowerPoint slides. And we're going to get to our final section where we're going to talk about document bindings. Now, you're going to see in my first demo that the code for bindings is going to work the same way as it did in Word. The big difference is in Word, you had to add a content control based on the rich text content control, and you had to change its title. Well, we don't have content controls in Excel. We have something that's much more mainstream, which is named ranges. So what we're able to do is to create an Excel workbook, add name ranges, and then my code can create bindings to those name ranges, and then it can just freely read and write information to and from those. Now, when we create bindings, we support different shapes: text binding, matrix binding, and table binding. And remember that table binding is the one that supports the user being able to add things in and for the table to continually be recognized as a binding with a variable number of rows inside there. Okay. Now, in my demo, we're going to see that we're going to have a workbook that has name ranges, and the bindings are going to be created by the ID, which is going to be the names of the named ranges. Once we create the bindings, we can read and write. And once we're able to do that, well, then we can also register event handlers to those bindings. So if someone goes and changes a binding based on text, or someone goes to a table that has a binding and adds a new row, we have an event fire that's going to be able to trigger our code to do something interesting, you know, such as calling to some backend service to be able to update data, send out notifications, whatever have you. Okay, now, one of the things that we're able to do is to take a single cell or a range of cells, create a name range, and be able to bind to those. Okay, so when I create bindings, there's a couple different ways to do it. Well, one thing that you can do is you can say add from selection async. Now, that will work, but what we're then kind of dependent on is the user selecting something that, you know, makes sense before the code runs. So you might or might not want to use that. We have a second option, which is add from prompt. And if we look at this code right here, you know, this goes ahead and kind of shows you an example of doing this. So what we have right here is some code that's going to, first of all, create this JavaScript object. Here I'm just calling it binding create options. And we give it an ID, we give it a prompt text, and we give it a callback method. And then we say doc bindings add from prompt async. And I pass in that binding create option. And what happens is the user then gets prompted to please select a list. And that can be something that's usable in some scenarios, you know, but again, it is going to be dependent on the user doing the right thing. And if the user doesn't select the right cell or the right selection of cells, you know, things aren't going to work as properly, you know, which brings us to what I think is the most reliable way is to have a workbook that has name ranges and to be able to call bindings add from named item. Okay. Now, once we've created the binding, we're going to be able to get the bindings. We're going to be able to get one particular binding. The office select is generally what I would use to be able to get to binding information. If you've created a binding, there's a way to delete or release a binding. Okay, and then after we add the binding, we might want to go ahead and add an event handler to it. And we'll see some examples of those coming up in the final two demos I'm going to do. Now, here is code that is identical from what you saw in the module earlier when we created an app for Office for Microsoft Word. First name, last name, company. The only difference is that we're no longer using content controls with the title, first name, last name, and company, but we're going to have a workbook that has cells that are named ranges with the same thing inside there. And then we can register event handlers. So let's go ahead and look at a simple example of using a binding here. So let's go ahead and open another project, and this is going to be simple binding demo. And in this case right here, we have a test document. I'll go ahead and click on the test document right here. The app's not working because I haven't launched the debugger, but what I wanted to point out is if I look at these particular cells right here, note that if I click on this cell over here and I come back over here, it's G5. Now, you could do something, you know, such as go to formulas and say define name, and I could go ahead and give this name range, you know, a name of Bob. And notice that now when you come here, it no longer says G5, it says Bob. And so the quick way to do that is to go to a cell. I don't want to refer to that as that anymore. I just want to refer to it as some other name inside there. And so now I've quickly created a name range. And so this demo is based on the fact that we have cells that have name ranges defined as first name, and you can see up here what the name range is, and company. Okay, so now that you've seen that, let's go ahead and close. I'm not going to save, but we'll go ahead and run this right here. And so I have just do some very simple walkthrough of how all the pieces fit together. Well, the first thing that we're going to do is run this code, which is going to say office.context.document.bindings, add from named item. And what I'd like to do is find the name range, first name. And remember, each of your bindings has to be on a shape, text, matrix, or table. In this case, we're going to use text inside here. And if you want, you can go ahead and put a callback method. And mainly, we like the callback method so it can make sure that things work correctly and we can get it a notification if things go bad. Okay, so we'll come up here and we'll go ahead and we'll create the bindings. And you can see that from this message, it looked like everything was successful. Well, second thing we want to do is we want to set the bindings. So by running a piece of code that does an office.select, and remember the bindings collection is always kind of called by name with office.select. Then we put the pound sign. and then after the pound sign, we have the name range inside. We say set data async. What we'd like to do here is basically put some values inside there. Okay, and then finally, let's go ahead and add some event handlers. So if we look at this code right here, we'd like to add some event handlers right here, just to keep the demo interesting or simple. The event type that we'll attach to is binding data changed. So anytime someone changes the data in that cell, or anytime someone added a new row to a table, we're going to fire this method right here. And just as an example, the binding object gets passed back to you, binding with ID of, so you can kind of see the binding right here. And I could pull the ID, or if I wanted to, I could get the value. But now, if we come back here and we click on this, and then we go ahead and we change that to some particular name and we tab out, you can see that the code fired inside here. Okay, so that was a simple example. Now let's put this into the context, you know, of a real world application. And that's the demo I want to end up with. This, for whatever is worth, is also the solution to the lab that we're going to have you do when you do the lab exercises for this particular module. So what we have here is we have a workbook, and the workbook is going to use Excel to basically calculate a mortgage payment and basically start showing a applicant's income allocation. And as I want to get a more expensive loan or the interest rate goes up, you know, how does that affect the available income balanced against my yearly mortgage? Okay. Now, also note that each of these cells, if I go ahead, make this a little bit larger right here, has already been defined as a named range. So we're going to use bindings inside here. And the idea as these things change, you know, for instance, if I come back here and I go ahead and change that to a different number, that things are going to change inside there. And you can basically see that the graph is automatically updating inside here. So the idea is instead of a user changing these values, we want to pull these values from some back-end system. We want to have the binding such that I can write information into those cells and have Excel automatically update that chart. Okay, so given that, let's go ahead and close this down. And let's go ahead and take a look, first of all, at the user interface that we have here. So the user interface that we have has things such as a table, so that inside of the table, we're going to have a user interface to basically show the data that we want to read and write from the workbook inside there. Down below, we're going to have things like a select element that's going to show different interest rates and different applicants inside here. Okay, now if we look at the code itself, well, let's go ahead and take a walkthrough of this. So here we have some variables that we're creating to hold on to the office document and to hold on to the bindings collection. Now, here I wanted you to be able to hit F5 and get things to work, and in your lab, I didn't want you to have to worry about connecting to a database. You know, but you could imagine that you could extend this instead of being contrived and having hard-coded data inside to actually be pulling this data from some back-end system.
Like we showed with the web API.
That's exactly right. The web API would be a great way, you know, to be pulling this type of information from the back-end system. And then there's also this notion of the current applicant. So there's going to be an array of applicants. Each one has a name, loan amount, loan duration. And at first, the current applicant is just going to be the first element in the array, the notorious Brian Cox. Now, when we initialize the app, what we're going to do is we're going to set this variable to office doc. We're going to set this to bindings. And then we're going to call onInitializeUI. And we call onInitializeUI. Let's just go ahead and run this at first. What we can see is as this thing loads in, it's going to take just a second to load in, we're going to initialize the user interface here. And if I go ahead and get rid of the ribbon, you can see everything at once right here. And so at this point, we're just kind of moving things back and forth, and I can change the interest rate, or I can change the loan applicant inside here. So we also have some event handlers, such that when you change one of those particular values, we're going to be able to run a piece of code, which is going to take those values and push them into the workbook itself. Now, there is a format to currency, which is something that we needed to be able to, on the web page, make the web page have currency formatting, much like Excel does. Now, here, we just have update app UI. So that's just updating the HTML inside of my app. We have something called on rate changed right here. So if you change the rate, we're basically going to change the current rate and update the app UI, but also update the bindings to the document. That's going to be the important part right here. Now, first thing we want to do is create the bindings. So here we're taking this function, and when you want to create a binding, well, you don't have to, as you saw in the previous example, but if you have multiple worksheets, you want to basically have your binding identified by the name of the sheet, and then the exclamation mark, and then the name of the name range. And so we're basically just binding to text shapes inside here. We have to give each binding an ID, so we can then go back and select the binding later on to be able to read and write values or to be able to add event handlers inside. Okay, now after we've created these bindings, what we're going to do is we're going to call update bindings to document. So here's a case right here where we'll go ahead and find the binding for applicant name. We'll take the current applicant, write the name inside there, and do the same thing with loan, loan duration, income, fixed expense. Okay, and then also as things change inside of the workbook, I might want to update the HTML elements inside of my app with anything that changed inside of the document. So now we also have kind of the opposite, which is able to do a select of the binding, then get data async, and take the data back and put it in the formatted value added inside there. Okay, so what we've created right now is this application where if we have Brian Cox inside here, and now we're kind of changing the interest rate back and forth, we can get this what if analysis. You know, likewise, we're able to change back and forth between different loan applicants so that we can see, you know, which ones have allocated enough money for their mortgage, which is apart from their available income and their other fixed expenses right here. Okay, so once again, you know, this is your lab exercise. This is what we're gonna have you work through so you can kind of get the experience of building, you know, a fairly real world app for office targeting from Excel, you know, from beginning to end. Okay, so where are we? Let's go ahead and wrap up. You know, so in summary, we looked at apps for Excel as the fourth target application that you can use when you create an app for Office. There are many common points in the API for reading and writing to documents and reading and writing from the settings property bag. We also saw that Excel has a couple unique things, like the ability to add a table binding and to be able to continue to add rows to it. And what we, you know, end up seeing is that the apps for Office platform as a whole, you know, is a very enabling set of technologies to extend Office applications, both in the rich client environment, such as Excel 2013 or Word 2013, but also when you create these apps for Office, they also extend to work in browser-based versions of the same Office applications that you're familiar with. Okay, so with that, I guess we should probably take another little break right here.
Yep, sounds good. Think
we'll take a break and we'll come back. And when we come back from break, we're switching from Apps for Office over to SharePoint.
Looking forward to it.
You're going to take lead there, aren't you?
Yep, sounds great.
I bet they'll enjoy listening to you this afternoon instead of me.